All right, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to another News in Focus program podcast. Bill and I are assembled around the brain mic. I did a podcast the other day, Bill, on Ken Ham's frustration with leading evangelicals like John Piper, Mark Driscoll, Tim Keller in New York about their failure to take a hard stand on young earth. And I made a plea out into the listening audience that they would send me some video clips of Piper's statements on the earth, and several of you out there, thank you very much, emailed me some YouTube clips, so I have downloaded them, converted them to audio files, and we want you to listen to Piper answer this question about, do you accept evolution or an old earth? And then after listening to this, Bill and I, we're going to come on and we're going to give you some commentary and our thoughts. So take a listen now to John Piper.
John, do you accept old earth and evolution?
Accept. Meaning, are there people on our council of elders who hold the old earth? Yes. Meaning, is that my view? What I said the other day when we were talking about this, we spent probably an hour on this as a staff talking about how we as a church should orient ourselves in the conversation of old earth, young earth. I said there seem to be two viable biblical views for me, and this is going to offend a lot of people. One is young earth, because it seems to me that the natural reading of Genesis 1 is 24-hour days, not day age. And two, the view that John Salehammer wrote in Genesis Unbounded or in his other books, which says that all the creation happened in verses 1 and 2. It may be as old as 4 trillion years as far as he's concerned, and that what was happening in Genesis 1 each day was not the bringing into being of the earth and its various forms, but rather the ordering, the managing, the structuring of things, which allows for 24-hour days, but also allows for an old earth. I lean that way. I don't lean towards a kind of view that says, let's scrap that. I don't believe in evolution as the way that Adam came to be human. I think God created Adam from the dust of the ground. I think he was unique, and that he's the father of all humanity, Adam and Eve, and that he's not the product of long evolutionary process. I can't make that jive with the way the text reads, and I think it's very important that Adam be a historical figure, because that's the way he's treated by the other biblical writers, and the heart passage in Romans 5 collapses, and the whole nature of God's making with Adam a covenant and then failing, and Christ being the second Adam, comes to naught if he's not a historical person.
All right, Bill, what's your gut reaction to a man that we really respect? We read his books, we enjoy hearing him preach at T4G. And yet, I don't know. What are your thoughts when you first watched that clip?
Well, I guess what really concerns me is that he says, I lean a certain way. What hope is there for a 35-year-old Bible student / pastor if a 65-year-old Bible student / pastor can only lean a certain way? What hope is there as far as
I'm concerned? Well, how big of an issue is this?
Well, he puts the historicity of Adam at stake, but that's not the only thing in Romans 5. You know, you have the entire biblical science of hamartiology, the study of sin that takes place with the fall and brings death with it. The death of everything that has a soul is cursed. That Greek word psuche is important. Nothing with a soul died until the fall. And yet we have a fossil record that scientists say is millions of years old.
More than millions.
Yes,
right?
Of course, yeah. Of soulish animals and If need be, if we have to go back 50,000 years, in some cases they say that human-like history is 50,000 years old, well, then we have not just gaps in our genealogy. We might as well just trash them. I mean, because I think that someone said it right. If we're tight on the genealogies, we're 6,000. If we're loose on the genealogies, and really, really loose, maybe 10 or 12,000, but certainly not 50,000, certainly not millions. So there's a lot more at stake in Romans 5 than just the historicity of Adam, and I wish that he would find what he believes on this and lean a little bit more pronounced in that direction.
I was really taken back by this statement. He said we had to ask ourselves, how should the church orient ourselves? How should we, the church, orient ourselves in this conversation? And I don't understand why Piper's not asking the question, what does the Bible teach about this? You know, he's almost
Catholic.
Right, yeah. And that's very unfortunate to even say it like that. But the single question that the listener needs to understand is always, what does the Bible say about this? And Bill, the Bible doesn't give any room for 4 trillion years ago, God did something.
No. No.
I mean, there's not this whole idea of, would you take the time to turn to Genesis 1 and 2 and read what people are talking about with this verses 1 and 2 idea? Kind of unpack that maybe for our new listener or a new Christian, why we're trying to create this, what he said could have been two verses referring to 4 trillion years.
Well, in verse 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And there is where he said that there's room for, I can't remember the author that he mentioned, I'm not familiar with him, but apparently he is, he read more than one of his books, but said that there's room here for a broad parentheses of undetermined time between now and what I think Piper said was the structuring or ordering of what was already in place in the 6 literal days.
Right, because Piper's affirming the historicity of Adam as an individual, mm-hmm. and Piper said that loosely 15,000, tightly 6,000, for the sake of discussion, let's say 10,000 years, 10,000 minus a week, because Piper affirmed 24-hour days here.
Right.
So then, for 4 trillion years, 4 trillion years, that's a mind-boggling number.
Seems like he might have been just throwing that out there. In other words, don't really know the number, doesn't matter, an old Earth. But let's just say that he believed it was 4 million, which is infinitely smaller, infinitesimal compared to
4 trillion.
Yeah, of course. So, again, I don't think he understands the gravity of how many people listen to him and take what he says almost as a pope. You know, he's got to be a little bit more pronounced than what he's saying.
Right, because he's allowing science to define the age of the earth.
Right.
The implication, Bill, is that God cannot create a mature earth.
Right.
I mean, that's the implication.
Never mind that he created a mature man. I mean, there's a great micro element of the macro creation where he put, I don't think he put an infant named Adam or a toddler named Adam or a child named Adam in the garden. I don't think the text allows for that in the slightest, that there is a man who had the appearance of age who was a day old. He was spontaneously created through the breath of God into a lump of clay. And another problem that we have with this whole gap theory thing that I was teaching when we were going through Genesis in our Sunday school was that he uses this term heaven and earth, and we see that earth appeared in day 3 and heaven appeared on day 2. So, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth is like a bookend. It's like a summary of the 6 days of creation. And the reason I feel pretty strongly about that is because it's repeated in chapter 2 and verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished. What he's trying to allow for is there to be a literal 6-day structuring. He doesn't want to call it an original creation. You can tell he wanted to get on board with it. He's saying that there is plenty of room between Genesis 1:1 and 2 and the 6 days which begin in verse number 3. But if chapter 1 verse 1 is the first bookend, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and chapter 2 verse 1 is the other bookend, thus the heavens and the earth were finished. Well, there's no room for a gap in there. The heavens and the earth were finished is a summary of what 1:1 says is about to happen. They're summaries on both ends of the 6 creation days. And if there are summaries of the six creation days, then that means it's not a separate creative act. It's a summary of what is going to happen.
Sure.
Very troubling that we're not being a little bit more careful here.
It really seems like he's trying to have a hybrid.
It appeals to more people when you have a hybrid.
Right, because you can still appeal to the intellectual. And he made the comment, however old scientists determine the Earth to be. He made that comment, however old scientists determine. I guess I'm not grasping the absurdity of suggesting 4 trillion versus 1 week.
Yeah.
I mean, I just, that is such a immeasurable variance, Bill.
Sure it is.
You know, I mean, I'm not even mathematically astute enough to create some kind of a ratio versus, say, for example, is it one, and our listener could do this for me and email me, is it 1 second for 1 day, that ratio? I'm trying to draw 1 week on the top line of a fraction and 4 trillion on the bottom line, and then I want to compare it to something I know. I know that 1 second, I can envision 1 second, and I can envision a year, so is it the equivalent of 1 second over 1 year now?
Well, 4 trillion is 4,000 billion.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is why the national debt is so crazy, right?
Right. You can't even conceive of it. It's just astronomical.
The national debt is 4 of those.
Right. It's an astronomical number.
Right.
And so to suggest to me that if my ratio works okay, which is 1 second versus an entire year, that for 1 year I created, but for 1 second I did all this amazing structuring.
Whoa.
What were you doing for 4 trillion years?
Right.
Logically, it just doesn't make sense.
And why is it needed? Because if he's going to say that Adam brought the fall, and if Adam brought death to everything that was soul-ish, that's the term that's used in some theological books, believe it or not. Even the correspondence I've had with the Institute of Creation Research, Dr. Johnson over there, I've talked to him and he talked about soulish death versus, say, death of animals for the well-being of human beings who needed, or death of vegetables, rather, that were needed for the human beings to survive. What is the need for 4 trillion years if it's not for fossil record justification? And if you have a fossil record, that implies the death of animals that have a soulish character to them. Now, someone in there is going to choke on that one, the fact that animals, some of them have souls, and of course, we don't want to choke on that too much, but the fact is we're dealing with animals that God describes both Adam and land animals as having the breath of life in them. They become living life forces. The word is 2:7 in Genesis 2:7. Man became a living soul. Well, he describes man the same way he describes animals and having the life force with them, the breath of life. So we have these land animals that have the breath of life in them. We have a mankind that has the breath of life in them. We need an old earth to account for this fossil record. Well, if there's no fossil record until after the death of Adam, then you don't need an old earth. Why would you need 4 trillion years just for an old geological strata? That doesn't make sense. Why would you need that? So you can have the intellectual, as you pointed out. Well, what's one step down from the intellectual but the mystic? The guy who wants to feel God. He wants to just, everything is about feeling. It's about channeling the energy. It's about really enjoying the universal existence and this oneness of universality, socioeconomic evolution, blah, blah, blah. So right before the intellectual who is agnostic, right below him you have the mystic who says that either there is one God and he's pluralistic or we're all part of the one God, this monism. So what's right below that is the skeptic. So if you're appealing to the intellectual, no wonder John Piper is loved by the intellectual, because he is a sensational, deeper lifer kind of guy, brother.
Right.
He writes dozens of books, and most of them are very, very, very deep.
Sure.
And a person can be just as fleshly and carnal and really, quite frankly, in the flesh and love his books. That's not to say he's ungodly. I love the man. I think when I read his stuff, I want to be more like Jesus. But the truth is, wanting to be more like Jesus and being like Jesus are not the same. And so the intellectual and the mystic, they're really close to each other. I have no question that he wants to appeal to the intellectual.
Right. And there's no doubt that he wants us to think more. There's no question. I mean, that's his contribution to the body of Christ.
And a great one.
And we're not trying to say that we need to be stupid.
Nope.
No, but we've got to decide, Bill, can we trust the Word of God or not?
Right.
Did Adam's sin bring death or not? I mean, that's a substantial decision point right there. Because if it didn't, then what else?
Right.
And there's no end to that. All right, so that's the first clip, Bill. The second clip, he deals with how should a church deal with creationism? How should we teach creationism? So let's take a listen to this one.
John, how far should we go in teaching creationism in the church? How important or unimportant is it?
I assume the ism on the end of creation has an agenda in terms of the age of the earth or the age of man or whatever. So let me just say a few general things. We should teach without any qualification that God created the universe and everything in it. And it wasn't always here. It didn't spontaneously emerge from a big bang alone, however God did it. God did it. That's clear, and everybody who believes the Word should preach that. Secondly, I think we should preach that He made it good. There was no sin in it when He first made it. Thirdly, I think we should preach that He created Adam and Eve directly, that He made them of the dust of the ground, and He took out of man a woman. I don't think I think we should teach that. I know the people who don't, who would say, oh, that's all imagery for evolution or whatever. And that man had his beginning not millions of years ago, but within the scope of the biblical genealogies. Those genealogies are tight at about 6,000 years and loose at maybe 10 or 15,000. So I think we should honor those genealogies and not say that you can place fast and loose with the origin of man. That's not the age of the earth issue there. That's the origin of what is a human being, when did that human being come into existence. And I think we should say he came into existence by God's direct action, and that wasn't millions of years ago. That was within the scope of these genealogies. Now, when it comes to the more controversial issues of how to construe Genesis 1 and 2 about how God did it and how long it took him to do it, there I'm totally sympathetic with a pastor who is going to lay his view down, having studied it, and is going to say to his people, here's my understanding of those chapters. These 6 days can't be anything other than seven literal days, and so that's how long God took it. And this earth is about 10 or 15,000 years old, or this universe is. And though it looks old, that's the way God made it. He made it to look old or something like that. Or he might take another view that these days are ages, or he might take Salehammer's view, which is where I feel at home, namely that what's going on here is all of creation happened to prepare the land for man verse 1, beginning. He made the heavens and the earth, that's everything. And then you go day by day, and he's preparing the land. He's not bringing new things into existence. He's preparing the land and causing things to grow and separating out water and earth. And then when it's all set and prepared, he creates and puts man there. And so that has the advantage of saying that the earth is billions of years old, if it wants to be. Whatever science says it is, it is. But man is young, and he was good, and he sinned, and he was a real historical person because Romans 5 says so, and sort of the rest of the Bible. So that's where I am, but I think every pastor should go ahead and say what he believes, but how you define who gets on your eldership, for example, who gets a teaching office in your church, I'm inclined to not draw that too narrowly. But I could be wrong about that. You know, I'm 63 years old, and I've never preached through Genesis yet, and I'd like to. I'm going to finish John, and then maybe the next thing I'll turn to, if the elders let me stay around that long, would be Genesis. I really think we need to give our people.
Well, Piper says we need to give our people help in this, but I got to tell you, Bill, that wasn't much help.
No. I'd like to read scripture if I could. Exodus chapter 20, verse 10. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant, maidservant, cattle, stranger that is within thy gates. Here, listen to this. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Now, brother, that's Genesis 1:1, 1:2, and the 6 days of restructuring, as he wants to call it. That is the heaven, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. That includes the whole kit and caboodle of chapter 1 of Genesis.
Moses didn't get it right.
Or Moses didn't get it right. He didn't get right his own thing, by the way, because he wrote both books. So if he meant to put a gap between 1:2 and 1:3 of Genesis, well, he surely didn't preserve that gap here while he's recording the Ten Commandments from the Lord God.
But you know, our liberal would argue with this, Bill, that Moses could not understand such a complicated thing as 4 trillion years, and so therefore this is mythical, or this is just enough to provide the idiots of a mankind that was there with some information. At that point, you really struggle with what Peter said in 1 Peter 1:21, that holy men spake of God as they were moved.
Right.
Now, which is it?
Right.
I mean, that's what it really comes down to. Is this the word of God or not?
Right.
I mean, that's what we talked about in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Paul was thrilled that the church at Thessalonica had received the word of God as it really is in truth. Not the word of men, but the word of God.
Right.
I mean, that's the central issue. The question was, Piper, should we teach creationism in the church? Should Sunday school teachers be teaching creationism? And again, he talked about an agenda. Wait a minute. What agenda are we talking about? We're teaching what the Bible says. That verse you just read from Exodus. What agenda would you have other than to teach boys and girls what the Bible says?
Right. I would hope my agenda is the same as Ezra's, to know the law, to obey the law, to teach the law. I just want to know what it says. It's very difficult. It's very difficult to appreciate any theology if you can't look at the pages of Scripture and ascertain what it's saying. Very hard.
When Piper says that he's sympathetic with the preacher that would teach 6 days, the very word sympathetic, Bill, implies a not an agreement, but a... It has a demeaning sense to it.
Right, a sort of a tip of the hat.
Right, yeah, okay, I understand how you, not being as intellectual as everyone else, would be forced to take that view, and I can relate to that. I won't criticize you for that. But if you would just read more and think more, you would depart from the basic, simple, literal reading of the Word of God.
Can we also point out that he does what a lot of liberal Baptists do, and I'm really concerned about how he went out of his way to differentiate between science and Scripture.
Well, he said that. He said...
Well, however old the earth is, according to science.
Yeah, whatever science says it is, it is. Wait a minute. Science hasn't got it right yet, Bill.
No.
If you ask scientists how old they thought the earth was 100 years ago, they would give you a different answer than now, or 200 years ago. And I promise you, if you and I could be alive 100 years from now, that we'd get a different answer 100 years from now.
Of course. Yeah.
So what? So is it varying? Or is... I mean, what does he mean by that?
Oh, even the super dupes are willing to admit now that the universe had a beginning. There was a time when the super dupes said, no, it's always existed.
Right, and now it has a beginning.
Right.
So what will it be in the year 2113?
Right.
And will we again cave to scientists? Will there be a day in which we figure out that the earth was actually created old?
Hmm. Yeah.
You know, I mean, because what happens then?
And a lot of the argument for, I've said this in a couple of venues, a lot of people are immediately going to think about the stars. They appear to be 7-8 trillion years, light years, 600 light years, you know, 70,000 light years. What do you do when a star is further away than the history of the Earth will allow from the young Earth creationist standpoint? Well, to me, that's pretty simple. The light was created on day one. The stars were created on day four. Apparently, it was two separate acts for God to create light and then their source. So already, we have two two examples in the six literal days of creation, both the creation of a mature man, a man who had the appearance of age, and the creation of heavenly bodies with the appearance of light that was aged. And yet we can't say that the geological strata is the same.
Bill, what we find is that he, Piper, is giving credence to the evolutionist.
Sure.
I mean, this very framework, he's sympathetic with those that have to take this hard view. He's letting science define how old the Earth is. He's doing his very best to reconcile this book that he loves. He told us at T4G that his mama told him that it was the Word of God, and he's believed it all his life, and yet he hangs in all these circles, and he's revered as such a, really, a philosopher in some regards.
And a mystic in others.
He's such a thinker,
right
that he doesn't want to divide. He doesn't want to choose a side. And what we've got is a bunch of young Pipers out there all over the place.
Yeah, but let's not forget, he did choose a side. He said in two videos, two out of two videos, he said it more pronounced than the second one we watched, that he feels at home in that other view. He's willing to say sympathetic and at home. Quite a bit different, aren't they?
Yeah, they sure are. Yeah, it's very confusing. He said over and over again that it was okay for us to say that everything God made was good.
Sure.
So how do we get, Bill, how do we get Piper saying all that God did was good, and we have dinosaurs ripping apart dinosaurs? Before the fall of Adam.
Right.
I mean, that has to happen in some form or fashion to create the fossil record that he's talking about.
Yeah, the fossil record with the age that he's talking about.
Right.
Right, yeah.
So how do we have that and it's good?
Hmm. Yeah, that's a good question.
I mean, it's not good, Bill. That's not good. I mean, there's no way anybody could look down and watch one of those movies that we've seen, like Jurassic Park, is that one in which we see these animals ripping each other apart. And, I mean, it's just horrific.
Oh, and that, you know, of course, that argument that you're providing there is salient, of course, to the gap theory. But how much more does it tangle with the nonsense of the day-age theory? We're right in the middle of the fifth day where he's creating land animals, or sixth day when he's creating land animals, he says it's good. And this, however long it is, maybe it's a thousand-year day-age. So on the sixth period of 1,000 years, he says, it's good, and you've got this animal death happening everywhere.
Right. How's that good?
Right.
Nobody would look at that and say, that's good. Mm-hmm. I mean, Bill, I've taken the stand, personally, I wouldn't take a hard stand on this, that I don't believe that the fall of Satan occurred until after God said that it was good, because the very fall of Satan is not a good thing.
That's true.
The rebellion that occurred in the heaven and the angels being cast up, I believe happened after God saw that everything that he made and that it was good. I don't believe it happened before that, because I take the literal interpretation of that to be everything that God had created, including the angels.
Right. Did you say after the fall or after creation?
No, after creation.
Okay.
After creation, not after the fall, because he's down there tempting.
Right. Maybe you did say it right. I'm just trying to remember.
Right. So what I'm saying is after God says that statement and before Adam fell is when I think that Satan fell from heaven. Yes. In between there.
Right. And that appears to be the tone of the same passage, Exodus 20:11. In 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is. So, naturally, what day did he fall on, Isaiah 14 style, if it wasn't after creation? Again, if God looked at all he saw, and behold, it was very good, and he made Satan during those 6 days of creation, because he made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is. Everything that's in them, he made during those 6 days.
Everything.
Everything. And it was very good. Yeah.
Well, that'll give you something to think about, and we are doing our very best to provide podcasts that help the body of Christ to tackle with the hard issues that are out there. And it could be that your preacher's not helping you think about these things, And maybe you need to email us, and maybe you need to be engaged and use what we're kicking out of here at Berean to help you in your own personal discipleship. If you are, we'd love to hear from you. We love emails and comments in either direction to let us know that we're making a difference in the larger body of Christ. If you're ever in Fayetteville, we'd love for you to come by and visit us. We'd like to meet you and shake your hand. If you can't do that, send us an email, and we'd love to hear from you. Bill, give them your email address.
Email address is bsturm.bbc@gmail.com.
Now, that is Sturm, not Strum.
It is Sturm and not Strum.
It is Sturm. So the U goes before the R. The U goes before the R on that one.
I think about changing my name to Smith. Maybe like
right. All right. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.